Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David. This is the 12th hour Apostolic Sabbath Training Congregation. I was out in the 12th hour. Let me hear Texas. Today is September 12, 2017. Our this evening, 22, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, A Step I Take. This step I take, my Savior is before me, and with His loving hand He leads the way, and with His breath I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me home. Until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begin to waver, when up ahead I see a chasm wide. Yes, then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong and He is by my side. His step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me home. Until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in Your love, no matter come what may, your life eternal is in His hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me home. Until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. The world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, part four. We're going to continue on. This is track number 12 by V.T. Hartle. And we're on page 53. Current events that may fulfill a prophecy. Because the bone of the contention among the angry nations of today is the world's markets, and because the churches are threatened by the totalitarian governments and thus urged to press together in order to preserve Christianity, the fact is thereby evidence that the time is nigh for the arrival of the predicted worldwide religious, political, commercial empire, the supposed remedy for the world's ills. Now it's seen that the prophecy of the Revelation 17 and 18, the last scene in the drama played by the nation, is about to be enacted. The warring nations are already divided into two distinct ideological camps. On the one side are the democratic governments, while on the other side are the totalitarian. If the latter continue successfully to prosecute their relentless conquest for the world dominion and sovereignty, The only victorious way out for the Christian nations, as they humanly view their plight, will be to surrender their power to the Church. For sin, Catholic set against Catholic, and Protestant against Protestant, in the mortal combat, they will be in dread fear, be inspired to saddle the beast, and to re-establish the Church as its driver, in order to free themselves from the shackles of the totalitarianism, and to safeguard Christianity. They will see victory in this stratagem. If it be denied them in war, for the very evident reason that many of the millions of the communicants of these churches and every army of the totalitarian states allied in the conflict will honor the dictates of the Church above those of their respective governments. Such a combination of the circumstances will result in a replication of the international church and state rule of the Middle Ages, and will regulate or relegate to the scrap heap the world's finest instrument of the human liberty, the divinely inspired Constitution of the United States of America. Since this development will make the world's ills worse, it will signalize that the four angels have let loose the winds and that the 144,000 Israelites are sealed. Revelation 3:8. And what is more, a system that will on pain of death for nonconformity exact a form of worship in the violation of the conscience is anything but democracy and Christianity enforced. Enforced religion is nothing less than an order of truckling subjects rather than an order of voluntary disciples. The fast-falling crown kings of the nation, symbolized by the crown horns of the leopard-like beast, in contrast with the ascending crownless rulers of the nation, symbolized by the crownless horns of the scarlet-colored beast, show that the world is passing out of the period of royalist governments and into the period of the non-royalist governments. A totalitarian overthrow of the democracies would endanger the continuation of a nationalistic Christianity. Now I'm going to reread what I just read. For a totalitarian overthrow of the democracies would endanger the continuation of the nationalistic Christianity. Well, Obama, it took 28 years for our government to overthrow the democracies. Now it says democracies with an S on it, means more than one democracy. So in other words, Republican democracy or Democratic democracy. Whoever, and don't make any difference who's in control of the government. One or the other. If you have somebody comes in that don't represent a democratic government, and that was Obama, he was the final one of the four presidents in a row, that started undermining our Constitution, and that was George Bush Sr. in 1989 when he became president of the United States for 4 years. And then Clinton, he succeeded George Bush in 1993, and he was the president until 2001. And he undermined the Constitution. And George Bush Jr., the successor of Bill Clinton in 2001, he undermined the Constitution. and sought to destroy and overthrow this country by orchestrating the 9/11 fake attack, which is a real attack, but they accused the enemy as being Muslims. They had a reason for it, but it's actually an inside job done by our own the United States government. Okay? And so, for 8 years, George Bush undermined the Constitution, Jr. And then Obama took over for 8 years, from 2009 to 2017, and he undermines and completely brings in a whole new government, Muslims. He tried to get the Muslim filled up with, the White House filled up with Muslims to run our government. Over half of Obama's cabinet members were Muslims. To withstand this storm, the Christian governments will before long seat upon the beast the predicted world queen, Babylon the Great. Well, as I read to you earlier, yesterday in my last sermon, Vitalis says in parentheses, Mystery Babylon the Great is the image of the beast. Okay, remember Nebuchadnezzar at the top. He made a golden image. Alright, now, he said this image is a symbol representing my government. So, what did the United States government do? Our government, United States government, from 1989 to 2017, a total of 28 years, what did our government do? It made an image to the beast. And we had the antitypical Nebuchadnezzars, and we had the antitypical Belshazzars play their role in this 28 years of making an image to the beast. And that was George Bush Jr.'s antitypical Nebuchadnezzar, and his successor, his son, Obama, antitypical Belshazzar. And lo and behold, as soon as Belshazzar, antitypical Belshazzar, Obama's time is up in 2017, he always sent Cyrus to overthrow our government, Mystery Babylon. Donald Trump came in, an independent, antitypical Cyrus, out of nowhere. He has his own money. He has his own army. But where was his army at? He had the army of heaven with him. Invisible army. He came in. Everyone was against him on the other side. All the Democrats, all the Obama Muslims, I were all against Donald Trump from the start go. He has 16 opponents running for the presidency with him and the Republican ticket, and he vanquished them all in the primaries. He was the only one left standing to get the nomination to be elected as the next president of the United States. But he had to overcome a rigged election, a crooked, totally crooked rigged deal. He was outnumbered 1,000,000 to 1. But Yahweh outnumbered them all with the army of heaven. He sent the army of heaven down here and surrounded Donald Trump. Had to. Because the enemy recognized him when he came on the scene to run for the president, the enemy immediately recognized him and said, this man has got to be defeated at all costs. That he can't get the nomination, and he can't get the presidency, because if he does, then he says, we're all through. And they knew it. I just read this morning on the news, it said that the news media has been 91% against Donald Trump, reported, since he's been in office 224 days, 91% of their reporting has been negative, and they have given him 74 hours of news time, and it's all been negative, in 224 days. Obama, in 730 days, his last 2 years in office, the news media only gave him 55 hours. And 2 years, Donald Trump, in 224 days of the first year of his presidency, they gave him 75 hours, and 91% of it is negative reporting, in hopes that it would all bring him down. He's got everybody's working against him in the Congress and Senate. So this is fulfilling. This prophecy right here is being fulfilled right before our eyes. This is not future, folks. This is right now. So, I'm going to go back and reread this whole, what I just read. A totalitarian overthrow of the democracies by the George Bush Sr., starting in 1989, for the next 28 years with four presidents, one succeeding the other. And they were all representing and creating the image to the beast. Now that beast is the Catholic Church. That's the head of the New World Order. They're the church and state front. The Catholic Church is like it was during the Dark Ages. Church and state. They started out as pagan Rome at the cross as atheist infidels, but because they had infiltrated the Christians along the way, and they've taken over their Christian world, and so in order to do that, they had to call the Catholic Church and had to acknowledge Jesus Christ, but they only did that by hanging him on the cross and leaving him there, but they did acknowledge him. And that would give them the identity of being Christian. So the Catholic Church today has the identity of being Christian instead of an atheist infidel, like they truly are at heart. They're faking themselves. They're faking Christianity. In order to take over Christianity, they faked it. So they could be empowered to rule over all the fake Christian churches of the world. And all the churches of the world that don't keep the Sabbath and the holy feast days are all fake churches. To withstand this storm, their Christian governments will before long seat upon the beast, the predicted world queen, Babylon the Great. Okay, so this is what happened. 28 years of our government and four presidents undermining our democracy and our Constitution. In other words, when you mention our Constitution of the United States, you're mentioning a two-party system, Republican and Democratic, that was created in 1860 by Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War. The two-party system was created then, 1860. It says that this world, or Babylon the Great, it means that she has to have a headquarters that will sit her up as a the New World Order, ruler of the New World Order, and the UN has to be the one to do that. But the UN has to have a president of the United States that they can dictate through the president of the United States to make Washington, D.C. the headquarters for this woman. Because this is where the checks and balances are taking place here with our Congress and Senate. They're the ones that hands out checks and balances. They're the finance of the world, in other words. They're the commercialism of the world. They run the commercialism of the world. That has to be run from the Congress and Senate of the United States. And so that's where a Babylon was set up, headquarters, where the commercial institution was at. That's where she was set up. And Obama was the last one to sit upon the throne of Babylon to try to execute the New World Order financially from Babylon. That's the reason why our government went from $2 trillion in debt. With Obama, he put it $20 trillion in debt. He raised it $18 trillion because he had his hand on the treasury. And he would get whatever he wanted out of it. That's how come this country is in $20 trillion in debt. But you know how fast this country can get out of debt? Overthrow the Federal Reserve System by getting back the checks and balances with gold and silver. That's coming, folks. When that happens, the United States is automatically solvent. And the whole world will be solvent. Once you do away with the Federal Reserve System. Okay? So that's what Mystery Babylon, that's what she runs on. The treasury that is created by the Federal Reserve System. So Babylon the Great was set up by the UN through our presidents. It took 28 years to get Babylon the Great set up. And it's going to take 8 years to completely overthrow her and dissolve her. She's going to put up a fight, and she's already putting up the biggest fight in the world to try to keep this Donald Trump from being successful, hoping that they will bring this pressure on him that he'll resign in his first year, and then Mystery Babylon get back to operating like she planned to do and set the New World Order up. Because, see, if they had elected Hillary Clinton to carry on the policies of her husband and George Bush Sr. and George Bush Jr. and Obama, if they had elected Hillary Clinton in 2017 instead of Donald Trump, then the New World Order would automatically have gone in. Automatically. We would have already had it here. Donald Trump comes along, and he circumvents that to happen, and that's what holds the winds. Now, here, Beastie Hollis, way back there, is saying that such a combination of circumstances will result in a replication of the international church and state rule of the Middle Ages and will relegate to the scrap heap the world's finest instrument of the human liberty, the divinely inspired Constitution of the United States. Since this development will make the world's ills worse, it will signalize that the four angels have let loose the winds and that 144,000 Israelites are sealed. Well, this has already happened then, folks. So by faith, we believe that B.T. Hollis was under inspiration when he wrote this, and so that the 144,000 has already been sealed. And this is what Willis Johnson taught, that they would be sealed at the time that we stand on Mount Zion with the Lamb in Israel at the end of the 11th hour. And they will be sealed between the end of the 11th hour and the beginning of the 12th hour. And we will all be standing with the Lamb at the 144,000 on Mount Zion. And then that's when the winds would be loose. Peter Hollis says these winds are let loose when they repeal our divinely or constitution, which they did. They had it successfully repealed. By 2017, but when Donald Trump came in, what was his theme? Make America great again and restore the Constitution. Well, if the Constitution hadn't been repealed, there wouldn't be no need to restore it. But Donald Trump knew that it had been trampled underfoot and repealed. So that was his whole campaign slogan, was make America great again and restore the Constitution back to its rightful order. But as Sister White said in 1844, restore the sanctuary back to its rightful order and put it in operation. Okay. So Brother Johnson restored the sanctuary back to its rightful order in 1970 and put it in operation. But it didn't do the Davidians any good, and didn't do the Adventists any good. It only benefited Gilead Center, and because Gilead Center leadership, Brother W. Johnson, were Babylonian at heart, they couldn't come out of Babylon. They couldn't come out of Babylon. And so therefore, a restored sanctuary continued on with Elijah David after 2003, but it came to an end for Gilead Center. The repeal of our Constitution, you would think that if the Constitution ever got repealed and put out of operation, that would be the end of it forever. But it's not. The Constitution is to stand the test of time. And so, the Constitution has to be in operation in this country because the whole world is wandering after the beast. But when you intercept the beast at his headquarters and you cut his head off, then what's the whole world going to wander after them? They're going to wander in darkness. And they're not going to know where to go to, because they're not going to come to the kingdom that's being set up. So there's only one place for them to go, and that is in the perdition, where the beast has already gone. They follow the beast into perdition. And that's the lake of fire of Revelation 19:20. This is where we're at, folks. So now, it says, a totalitarian overthrow of the democracies would endanger the continuation of the nationalistic Christianity. To withstand this storm, the Christian governments will before long seat upon the beast, the predicted world queen, Babylon the Great. Okay. Now, had Hillary Clinton become president in 2017, she would have been the perfect symbol of a woman sitting upon this beast. She sits on the beast methodically or spiritually. She sits upon the beast, but there's not going to be a physical woman that's going to run this Babylonian government. This is a church-state situation. Babylon, this mystery woman, a mystery Babylon, represents an impure woman, an impure church organization. And that's your Catholic Church. They're in possession of that. Okay. To withstand the storm, the Christian government will before long sit upon the beast, the predicted world queen, Babylon the Great. Then she will say in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Revelation 18:7. Well, what does Hillary Clinton do today? Every day she's writing a book, and she's telling about all of her enemies that caused her to fail. All those that were supposed to have been her friends, they became her enemies. And she's blaming all of them for her failures. So and she's full of sorrow. She says, I sit as a queen and I'll see no sorrow. Yeah, until she lost the election. Then she's a downcast queen, and she is full of sorrow. But she's stolen a lot of money from the world governments around the world. She stole billions and billions of dollars, and she put them in a secret bank account, and these people want their money back. Since she has failed to sit upon the throne of the world, this mystery Babylon throne, she's got all their money, though. And she don't want to give it back to them. But they want their money back. So what are they going to do? They got a million to one against her. So they're going to turn on her and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Because Hillary Clinton was stealing all of these people's money off of, under false pretenses, and put it in secret bank accounts around the world, and Voss, and so forth. They know, and they want their money. Because she promised to give them the treasures of the world if she got to be president. Or she didn't get to be president, and so they're not going to get their products, and she's got their money. And that's like stealing money from the devil and saying, I don't care whether you like it or not, I've got it. Now the devil, he's the one that's got the upper hand, and he's going to come after his money. He's going to either get his money, he's going to get your hide. And that's where Hillary Clinton's at today. This church and state union will bring a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, Daniel 12:1. Nevertheless, whosoever will save, protect his life by the sacrificing of the truth, shall lose it, says Yahshua, and whosoever will lose, risk his life for my sake, by the standing firm for the truth, shall find it. Matthew 16:25. And the prophet declares that at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Daniel 12:1-10. Without Yahshua, no system can unravel the world's tangle, but can only make the knot worse. Babylon the Great, therefore, can endure but a short time, one symbolical hour, and then she will be swept away by the crownless horn. Revelation 17:16. The resultant time of the trouble, finally, culminating in the close of the probation and in the triumph and coronation of the King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns, Revelation 19:16, whose right it is to reign. So it shall be that in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, but it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Matthew 24:34. Then and not until then may the world expect peace. Thus the more sure word of the prophecy, which never fails to tell the truth, declares that neither England nor Germany, but rather Babylon the Great, the image of the beast. Oh, here it is, right here. Page 57. I had read forward yesterday off my tape, and I had read this. The image of the beast, it says, but rather Babylon the Great, the image of the beast, will finally for a short season profit by the war. Permanently, though, none but Yahweh's people will be benefited. They shall be made free by becoming a kingdom. So how do we become free? We become a purified kingdom, which shall never be destroyed or left unto other people. Daniel 2:44. Okay, so it says that They shall be made free by becoming a kingdom which shall never be destroyed or left unto other people. Daniel 2:44. So, by coming into this kingdom, is how you're made free. You're set free. You have Yahweh's protection from then on. How necessary, then, that we retain the light thus far shed in our minds by the never-failing word of the prophecy and its historical fulfillment, so that we not only may depart from the path that leads to destruction, but also may walk in the path of the eternal security. To this end, let us consider a chapter of the Bible which has ever baffled students of the prophecy, but which now, in the light of the present truth, has become one of the most simple and comprehensible of the Bible prophecies, and that's Daniel 11, the summary, that which is noted in the scripture. Okay, it says, and now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in the Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. Now, this, pay attention to this word Persia. We're in the Persian era right now, in the Antitype. Donald Trump, King Cyrus, antitypical King Cyrus, he is the king of Persia. Now, keep that in mind. And he's ruling the United States as president right now, antitypical Cyrus, king of Persia, Donald Trump. Okay, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. Now, Donald Trump is the richest president that has ever been elected president. Okay, it says this, three kings shall stand up in Persia, but the fourth one shall be far richer than they all. Now, Donald Trump is certainly far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grisha. Now, Donald Trump has got riches that is vast and profound, and it just overshadows all of those that he is ruling over in the Congress here at Washington, D.C. And it just makes him feel helpless and so envious of him that he owns so much property around the world and so forth. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according unto his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven and not unto his posterity, nor according unto his dominion, which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up even for the others beside thee, verses 2 to 4. Clear it is from these verses that the Medo-Persian Empire was to be subdued by the mighty king of Grecia, Alexander the Great, and subsequently be divided into four parts, to the south, to the north, to the east, and to the west, plucked up even for the others. Thus it was that after the Alexander's death, the empire was split up, and one part assigned to each of the four generals who formed the league. First Ptolemy assumed the regal power in Egypt. And pay attention to this Ptolemy, he became the lone king of the south. So the number one was Ptolemy assumed the regal power in Egypt, becoming the king of the south, which is Arab, which is Muslim. Now keep that in mind. Number two, second Seleucus in Syria. Now keep that in mind, because we're dealing with Syria right today. Donald Trump has already gone over there and bombed Syria. They already had an airport bomb because of bombs that they're bringing in. They're wanting to destroy all of Syria. The enemy's wanting to come in and destroy Syria. So Donald Trump went in there and he did a rescue job on Syria. Obama, the president before Trump, was trying to destroy Syria. Donald Trump went in there and rescued Syria. And Upper Asia. Third, Lamachus in Thrace and Asia Minor as far as Taurus. And fourth, Cassander, Turk, Asia, Macedonia. You get that information from Universal History, page 100. It is well to remember that aside from stating the geographic locations of the four Grecian divisions, the prophetic record of the entire chain of the events is devoted to the king of the south. This is the Arabs. And to the king of the north, this is Rome. This is a heathen, atheistic Rome. The acts of the king of the north, however, are especially emphasized, showing that the whole prophetic account is given particularly to expose his meddling with the holy things. So we know what pagan Rome, they meddled with the holy things. They became ecclesiastical Rome several hundred years later. And they certainly meddled with holy things. They trampled the sanctuary on the foot and trampled to the ground. Okay. And took away the data. Hence follows an enumeration of some of the identifying acts of the king of the north. Number one, he defeats the king of the south and takes his kingdom. Verse 15 and 16. After which he stands in the glorious land. Verses 16, Palestine. Number two. Now let's get this again. The identifying acts of the king of the north, he defeats the king of the south and takes his kingdom. Verses 15 and 16. After which he stands in the glorious land. And verse 16, that's Palestine. In the glory of the kingdom, a raiser of the taxes stands up. Verse 20. Number 3, his kingdom is overflown with the arms of a flood from before him. Verse 22, and he loses Egypt and Palestine. Afterward, he works deceitfully and becomes strong with a small people. Verse 23. Number 5. He flatters wicked ones for their wickedness. Verse 32. Now who did this? Obama, the Arab, the Muslim, the king of the south. He flattered all the wicked nations that contributed to his cause. So this is where we're at. We're up here to 2009-2017. Obama. He divides the land for gain, verse 39. He becomes strong the second time, yet is defeated by the king of the south. Oh, okay, just a minute. We're talking about the king of the north here. It says, his kingdom is overflown with the arms of a flood from before him. And he loses Egypt and Palestine. Afterwards, he works deceitfully and becomes strong with a small people. This is the king of the north. Okay. He flatters wicked ones for their wickedness. He divides the land for gain, verse 39. He becomes strong the second time, yet is defeated by the king of the south. Verse 25, 29, and 30. Both kings speak lies at one table. verse 27. Having become strong the second time and having engaged in an unsuccessful war with the king of the south, he sets his heart against the holy covenant, verse 28. And we know that Obama did this. He certainly set his heart against the holy covenant. The Pope set his heart against the holy covenant. So both of these, king of the north, king of the south, they set their heart against the Holy Covenant. Number 10. He pollutes the sanctuary of the strength and takes away the deity. Verse 31. But then we know the Catholic Church did this. Number 11. He forsakes the God of his fathers. Verse 37. Acknowledges a strange God. Verse 39. And disregards the desire of women. Verse 37. And number 12, in the time of the end, he again defeats the king of the south, enters into the countries, overflows and passes over, verse 40, and once more stands in the glorious land. Following this, Edom and Moab and the chief children of Ammon escaped out of his hand. Now, look on your map in Israel. Moab and Ammon are the descendants of Lot, a Hebrew, nephew of Abraham, and they have their location right there in line with the Dead Sea, right there in Israel. They're in the Transjordan area. Following this, Edom and Moab and the chief children of Ammon escaped out of his hand, verse 41. And the Libyans, also the Ethiopians, follow at his steps, verse 43. Number 13. Tidings out of the east and out of the north trouble him. Therefore he goes forth with great fury, destroys, and utterly makes away many. Verse 44. Number 14. He also plants the tabernacles, more than one tabernacle, of his palace. So he has tentacles. He has suburbs. He has his lone palace in a glorious holy mountain, but he plants the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet comes to his end and no one helps him. Beginning with the ancient Medo-Persian Empire, verse 2 and 3, the chain of the events of this prophecy reaches on unto the time that the king of the north plants the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, verse 45. Now, where is the glorious holy mountain? That's Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia. That's in the south. That's not at Jerusalem, folks. As the angel explained with the events of Daniel 12, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, Daniel 12:1. Covering such a long period of time, many centuries, the dominion of the kings, whose history is chronicled in this prophecy, obviously has passed under a number of regimes. Seeing that no human being has lived on and on throughout these centuries, it is obvious that the titles King of the South and King of the North are applicable unto two lines of rulers, seeing also that no government or kingdom has stood intact throughout the ages. It likewise is obvious that these two lines have undergone many supersessions of sovereigns, many regimes. For this reason, Bible differentiates them by their lineal geographic titles. It is now clear from the scriptures that the Grecian division south of the Mediterranean, the Ptolemic, first receives the title of King of the South. That is your Arabs, your Muslim. Whereas the division north of the Mediterranean, the Lysimachians, first receives the title King of the North, and the relation unto the territories of these two lines of the rulers, The Mediterranean therefore becomes the point of compass from which they must be reckoned. In 281 B.C., Lamarcus added to his dominion Cassander. Then in 279 B.C., Seleucus defeated Lamarcus and seized his kingdom, whereupon the eastern, the northern, and the western divisions became one, while Ptolemy, king of the south, held his own, the southern division. The Seleucidean dynasty, therefore, ushered in the second northern regime, whereas the Ptolemaic dynasty continued to be the first southern regime. Under this point, the prophetic vision has been open unto all. But from here on, it has remained closed, though many have tried to raise it, to open without a key a locked door, is for the breaking of the door, that being unbreakable, for the locked door of the prophecy is impossible to open without the key. The simple and positive way not to lose sight of the identity of these two kings is to let the pen of the prophecy trace on the map of history the successive rulers of the Egypt and Palestine, for the titles of the kings who conquered and who lost these ancient countries are chronicled in this prophetic chapter to preserve the identity and for the exposing of the evil intents of both the king of the south and king of the north. The Pope today is the king of the north. The Arabs are the kings of the south. They don't have to be present to be king of the south. Remember now, to begin with, the king of the south rules the glorious land, Palestine. Now that's exactly what you have today. The Palestinians are in Gaza Strip. They call it Palestine, along with Egypt. And the king of the north takes the glorious land twice, verse 16 and 41. If he takes it twice, then he must have lost it once. Consequently, both kings ruled it twice and lost it twice. But the king of the north, the last to rule it, rules it in the time of the end. That's here in the 12th hour. The time many run to and fro, and the time knowledge has increased. Daniel 12:4. Our time, mark this carefully, for these transactions of the land provide the key for the identity of these kings from the time of the Alexander's death unto our time. For the angel emphatically declared that the kings to rule Palestine together with Egypt were to be as follows. First, the king of the south, Ptolemy. Second, the king of the north, pagan Rome. That's at the cross 2,000 years ago. Third, the king of the south, Turkey. That's in our day. And fourth, the king of the north, England. That's in our day. Here and the following 25 pages are the details of prophecy correlated with the history. In the light of these foregone fundamental facts, we should now be able to rightly evaluate the unfolding of the scroll and to intelligently match the page of the prophecy with the page of the history as we pass from the time of the first northern regime, that of the Lamarcian, on beyond the time of the second northern regime, that of the victorious Seleucidae, who subjugated the Lamarcian's dynasty, and on to the time of the third northern regime, that of the Rome, the power which overthrew the Seleucidian kingdom. And as a prophetic account was given for the exposure of the work of the king of the north during the third regime, we are therefore led to examine the four-numbered group of the prophetic acts as pointed out on the pages 59 and 61. North defeats south, takes Egypt and Palestine. Now this is going to be a subject for our next study. I don't really have much to add to this at this moment. So let's just bring this study to a close this time, and we're going to close now with a song. Often the peaceful shore, very deep we stand within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now say, oh, why? Lord, lifted me, Lord, lifted me. When nothing else can help, Lord, lifted me. Lord, lifted me. Lord, lifted me. When nothing else can help, Lord, lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll pay. In His blessed presence there, ever His praises sing. God so mighty and so true, merits my soul this song. Faithful love and service to Him belong. Lord, lift it me, Lord, lift it me. When nothing else can help, Love lifted me, Love lifted me, Love lifted me. When nothing else can help, Love lifted me. Souls in danger, locked above, Yahshua completely saved. He will lift you by His love, out of the angry wave. He's the master of the sea, devils His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Lord, lifted me, Lord, lifted me. When nothing else can help, Lord, lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love.